Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. It's Rivalry Thursday, so Jimmy and I are here at Farragut High School, and we have been able to hear and see the band go through their pregame prep, and it's going to be an outstanding show. You can tell it's going to be an outstanding show.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been working hard at it, and it's looking forward to seeing their performance. I usually tape these games when I get home and get a chance to watch them.
So it's Farragut and Bearden, and we're here at Farragut High School. We're brought to you by OEB Law as well as Matlock Tire. And it's always a pleasure to say hello and welcome back to the program, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are.
Yes, sir. It is a glorious day to be outside, and also a good time that you need to have that jacket handy because it's fall.
It is, and I'm not quite ready for it, but I know there's a lot of people around town very happy about it, so I'm going to hope everybody's enjoying the cool weather because I'm good with heat and sunshine, but that's just me.
Well, tell me, how has the season gone for young Eli?
It's fun. It's fun. He's done. He's had fun, and we got a big couple big games left as close out the regular season here. A lot of good high school football games around the area, starting with that one tonight. That's always a great game between those two rival schools, and there's a big one between Powell and West tomorrow night. A lot of good games in the area as we're coming down into crunch time. A lot of stuff going on in high school athletics in East Tennessee. Got a couple volleyball teams playing for a trip to the state tonight. You know, Ferry gets involved in that. Anderson County, Gibbs, there's some teams in the area looking for a trip to out to Murfreesboro to play for a state title in volleyball. That's taking place. You got soccer going on, and then obviously a lot of football going on. But he's had a good time this year. He's enjoyed his freshman season. He's been very fortunate, very blessed to stay healthy and to get to play a little bit and grow and hopefully become a better player and a better teammate.
Well, it's great to hear, and best of luck to Eli and the Eagles as they look to finish strong. With Tennessee, the Volunteers coming off, I think, by far their best performance this season. Brent, what stood out most to you with Tennessee's win over Mississippi State last Saturday?
Well, I mean, you got to think back. It's been a lot of years since Tennessee's been able to put the football down at inside their own 10-yard line in the fourth quarter and eat up the clock and drive it six consecutive plays into Mississippi State territory. A lot of good things happen when you sack the quarterback seven times. You've obviously played well on defense, 10 tackles for loss. Don't want to take anything away from the defense. But I think the defining moment for me in that game was those six consecutive run plays where Tennessee moved the ball as efficiently and effectively as they did, bleeding the clock out of that game. It's been a long time since we've seen Tennessee be able to do that against anybody. That doesn't mean that they've arrived. It doesn't mean that they can line up and do it this week or every week. But how many times did we see, and guys, have we talked about Tennessee getting ready to play a team that's surrendering, 200 yards on the ground, 190 yards on the ground, and Tennessee struggles to get to 100 yards rushing? They just can't move the ball when everybody else seems to have been able to move it against some of those Kentucky teams over the course of the past 10 years, some Vanderbilt teams where you thought, boy, Tennessee could have their way on the ground, haven't been able to do it. For Tennessee to be able to do it with the game on the line the way it was, is what stands out to me most about that game, John.
If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, one of the things that stood out to me was the play of that defensive line. And I just wonder if you think, is it taking them that long to gel together as a unit? I guess we won't know if that's a one-time thing, but what did you think about Tennessee's performance on the defensive line and shutting down the SEC's leading rusher?
Well, I thought they played sound. I thought they played their gap responsibilities. You go back and watch, there's a lot of plays that were made where the guy who really made the play didn't make the tackle, but he sealed the edge or he held the gap the way he was supposed to, talking about Middleton or Emerson or there was even a couple plays, Daryl Taylor, that probably made a better play by not making the tackle than he did on some of the plays that he made a tackle. I just thought that for what Coach Pruitt has talked about and some of the players have talked about, just doing your job, I thought those guys up front just did their job, did what they were supposed to do, didn't try to do too much, which prevented them, eliminated them from making the critical mistake of giving up a run lane or taking an inside path and giving up the edge. I thought they did their job. Did they dominate up front? you know, I mean, they didn't live in the backfield, but they created plays and created traffic at the line of scrimmage to allow linebackers to make plays and other guys to make plays. They struggled with the quarterback run. I have no idea why Joe Moorhead, the head coach at Mississippi State, did not play Schrader the entire game. I thought he would coming into that game. But, you know, they gave up some of those yards late. But what they did for three quarters, in particular, three and a half quarters, by far their best performance. And I think it was because they kept it simple and just kind of did their job.
It's obviously Alabama's going to be a tremendous challenge. They offer everybody. But I wonder if you think going forward that this defensive line may have found itself to where they can record similar performances over the last five or so games.
Well, I think you're seeing guys who are getting better and getting more confident. I think you're seeing that with Middleton. I think you're seeing that with Greg Emerson. Butler, you know, has got more confidence. I think he's playing a little freer right now and just kind of turning it loose and playing within the role they've asked him to play. He's not being too technical and overly caught up in some of the stuff that I think has slowed him down the last couple of years. I still don't think they're going to be a dominant team by any means, but if they can get into some games where the quarterback holds the ball a little bit longer, that'll help them out. If Daryl Taylor can be disruptive, you know, like he was against Mississippi State down the stretch of this season, there's no doubt the line of scrimmage is what gave Tennessee fans the hope coming out of the win over Mississippi State. Because you sit there and look at it and say, okay, can you do that against South Carolina and give yourself a chance to win at home? And if you could find a way to win that one, then suddenly you're having a whole different conversation than we were having 3 weeks ago when everybody was talking about a 1-6, 1-7 potential start, that type of thing. You bring a lot more things into play. Kentucky's had their struggles. Vanderbilt's really struggling right now. UAB's a solid team, but Tennessee will be favored to win there. I think Missouri's a heck of a challenge on the road. But if you can hold your own in the line of scrimmage the way that they did on both sides of the ball, but in particular that defense, Jimmy, then, yeah, I think you're going to give yourself a chance to be successful down the stretch.
I think we would agree that Tennessee's offensive line has improved. Mm-hmm. What catches my attention is they've had five different starting lineups in six games. They may have a six different starting lineup in seven games this week against Alabama. And I'm thinking usually you want the same five, you want a cohesive unit, and yet they've moved people all over the place. How do you explain the improvement of the offensive line when they've had so many injuries and so many different combinations?
Well, the one place where would you say Tennessee's most effective running the football?
I would
say to the left, right?
Yeah, Trey Smith.
How many games in a row have Brandon Kennedy, Trey Smith, and Wanya Morris played?
I don't know exactly, but I know Kennedy's played well. Pruitt cited him,
right,
and Wanya Morris. He started four games or five.
Right. Four games,
and
I think. So,
and I think Trey Smith is getting better.
Oh, no,
it's almost
question.
Like he's kind of figured out whether it's knocking off the rust or understanding his preparation for week to week. He's playing better.
No question. I thought Trey Smith's best football game of his career was Saturday against Mississippi State. I thought he played better Saturday than he did in his freshman year, because I didn't think he had the pancake blocks, the intimidations and knockdowns, but he also didn't have the bust. And there were times as a freshman, you know, he'd turn a guy loose because he was confused because he hadn't seen as much stuff there as a freshman. I thought he was terrific on Saturday against Mississippi State. But I think part of the reason why you're seeing some success, you are seeing continuity on the left. While they played five different combinations, the combination change-ups have been on the right side, which I think we would all agree is probably their, quote, weaker side right now, because, you know, they played two games with Darnell Wright in at guard, then they bumped him back out to tackle. They played Calbert out there. You know, they played Riley Locklear in there. They played Ryan Johnson in there. They played Jerome Carvin in there. They've played many of their combinations, particularly since Jameer Johnson got hurt and has not played for a month now. Many of the combination adjustments and changes have been on that right side. And I think they've been a better offensive line on the left side, particularly in the run game. I think there's some continuity developing there. Wanya Morris, a week ago, talked about how comfortable he is with Trey and how much Trey's helped him. I think Tennessee's figured out how to practice through the week with Trey to get him ready to play. I think Trey's figured out how he needs to practice. And I think Brandon Kennedy, if he can continue to stay healthy, is only going to get better, because remarkably, you know, the Florida game was his first SEC start. I mean, you know, he's a veteran, but he's not played a lot of football. He's starting to play it now, and I think you're starting to see him play faster, and I think you're starting to see him play more physical, and I think that's why that left side has got a little continuity, and they've been better over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks and starting to take off a little bit.
Jeremy Pruitt said the availability of Brian Maurer is a game-time decision. Do you think Maurer will play against Alabama?
If he passes concussion protocol at the end of the week here, yes, Jimmy, I think he'll play. But I think everybody has to understand, just because he threw the ball in practice on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and today doesn't mean he plays on Saturday, because he's got to clear that final test where you got to look at that number. And I think that, you know, that testing likely to take place later today, and you'll see if the you know, his quote number from the testing is below where it's supposed to be, so he can play. If he passes protocol and if his test comes back to where he could play, I do think you'll see him play on Saturday, but I think you'll see Tennessee play both quarterbacks.
That's Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900. Sports Talk continues. Today, the program brought to you by OEB Law and Matlock Tire. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Farragut High School. Tonight, the Admirals host Bearden. As for Brent Hubbs, his appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. We've got more coming your way on Sports Talk.
I know it's hard to keep up, but we ain't slowing down. 99.1, the sports animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. Let's get right to it and check in with Keith. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Keith. Keith, you with us?
I'm right here.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, listen, just a question on the idea of player development. Whenever, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Coach Pruitt recruited Maurer, did he not?
Yes.
Okay. We've heard all year long, ever since spring practice, we've heard that Garantano is the man that gives us the best chance to win. But what, all year long, up until Maurer started, we saw the consistent failure. And I don't, you know, I'll premise all of this by saying I'm not against Garantano or a coach or anybody. I want the Vols to win. But I'm sitting there in the early games, and I'm seeing him miss his reads, and I'm seeing him throw behind the receivers, and I'm seeing him throw over the receivers. And then they continually say, but yet he's still the best opportunity to win games. And then Maurer comes in and plays lights out. And I realize the interceptions. I do realize that. But what is your take? Has the player development been there? I mean, does he see what is really there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Does he really see what is there? Because in my mind, I'm saying, how did you miss this? You're saying he's your best chance to win, and Maurer's sitting over there, and he's ready to go.
Well, I mean, I would, and I don't want to knock anything on Brian Maurer at all. I would not call him lights out. Brian Maurer's completing 46% of his throws. Garantano has completed 64%. Garantano has 8 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Maurer has 2 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Now, Maurer does some different things, and offensively they are different. And I would agree that he has sparked this offense, but it's not like they put Heath Shuler in the game when they put Brian Maurer in or Peyton Manning. Now, I think Brian Maurer's got upside. I think that if you talk to people who watched scrimmages in the preseason, people who watched on the practice field. Garantano took care of the ball better in the preseason. He seemed to throw the ball better in scrimmages. He seemed to perform better on the practice field. It did not translate well enough to the game field. He didn't play particularly well in games. And they obviously gave him a long leash the first couple of ball games, and he made mistakes, and he missed guys, and then they made the change in the Florida game. And Maurer's done some good things. I don't want to take that away from him. But it's not like they went from a guy. I mean, Maurer's not been lights out is my point.
Yeah, well, yeah, that probably wasn't the very best of terms to use, but you said it right there. He absolutely, without question, he sparked that offense, and they so desperately needed it. And so going forward, do you play him in the Alabama? Some said earlier, I think it was Will and on the morning show.
Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
Will and Tyler.
It might have been them. Whoever it was, they was talking about, you know, listen, hold him out. He's got the concussion. Hold him out. You're going against Alabama. They're going to be playing a wrecking ball. Let him heal his wounds. Do what you can do. Try to win. But do you do that, or do you put – I just think that if Maurer's healthy, I just can't see not playing him.
Oh, if he's healthy, I'm playing him. Okay, because here's the thing. All right, if you're going to set him out, then are you going to set Trey Smith? Are you going to set Juwan Jennings? Are you going to set Daniel Petulli? Are you going? I mean, who are you going to set? I mean, just don't go. Okay. I mean, look, I get that. Now, if Brian Maurer's borderline on the concussion deal from a health standpoint, you don't play him.
Right,
if
that's where I would go.
If he's cleared to play, then you play him. Because remember, you're also trying to establish in your program that this is what you're trying to get to. You're trying to create a competitive culture. You don't want to say, well, we can't win, so we're going to set our guys and just not show up and play. I don't think you can do that and try to establish what you're establishing. Now, again, if Maurer's borderline, he doesn't play. Because you've got that's a safety health concern for him individually. I would say the same thing if it was South Carolina, if it were UAB, winnable game, non-winnable game. If he's borderline on the concussion, he doesn't play in the football game. Same decision you're making on Riley Locklear, Jimmy.
Well, but to your thing, I think he's either cleared or he's not.
Right.
I don't know that there's a borderline. I think they either say he's ready to go or he's not. And so, but yeah, and Locklear, I don't know that Locklear's going to play this week either, right?
I don't expect him to play.
I don't either. Yeah.
You know, so if you're through protocol and you're cleared to play and you don't have any effects of a concussion, then you play. If you're not through protocol, then you don't play. But if he's healthy enough to play, I play him this week.
And my guess is he won't be healthy enough. I may be wrong. And I know that Dr. Jerry Punch had indicated earlier that you either have a concussion or you don't. I didn't think that was the case, having experienced them. I thought they're kind of like ankle sprains. They're second-degree, third-degree, fourth-degree ankle sprains. I think some were worse than others. Maybe it's the recovery time, though, but it's whether or not you can deal with it. But I thought there were different degrees of it. I was surprised when Doc said that. But I don't think Maurer's going to play because I don't think he's going to get cleared. But I don't know that. We'll see.
Keith, we appreciate it. We'll get a break. We've got more coming your way with Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by our good friends at Diversified Enclosures and Screen. This is Sports Talk. Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com along with us for hour number three of Sports Talk with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Farragut High School. Our next caller is Chet. Hello, Chet.
Hey, guys. First and foremost, go Admirals, kick the dogs. I'm an Admiral back from when Ken Sparks played, so I'm all about Farragut taking care of business tonight, which is the most important. Second of all, Brent, you've been doing this a long time. You've been watching a lot of ball games. I just want to just make a couple comments and then get your input. It just seems to me as the time that I've been able to listen this week and last week, there just seems to be more people that call themselves fans, which is supposed to be short for fanatic, that just give, like, no hope at all for Tennessee. You know, I'm not going to sit here and predict that we're going to go beat Alabama, but I'm not going to be surprised if we win. And the reason is because I've seen way too many ball games in the time I've been watching college football to know that the best team doesn't always win. And I get that they're on top of this, whatever it is, 12 times in a row. Well, I was there in 1982 when we beat the Bear and we hadn't won for however many years. Nobody thought we were going to win that game. And it just seems to me we've got so many people who are calling themselves Tennessee fans, and yet they're about as negative as they can be. Not that you want to ask you can't ask a question, and you certainly can do that, but it just seems like, you know, when I looked in the stands for the Georgia game, I saw a whole lot more red where it looked like there should have been orange. I'm like, if I got season tickets and when I had them and lived there, I never sold my tickets to anybody. I might have given them to a friend, but they were Tennessee fans. And I'm just kind of calling out the Tennessee fans going, if you're a fan, stick with them. If you're not, sell your tickets and go to the house. I'm tired of hearing people who say that they're Tennessee fans or think they are, and they're not acting like it. And I'd like to get your opinion on just what you're hearing because you're closer to it than I am. I'd also like to get your opinion on, is it just going to shock you if in a big, huge rivalry, I understand you got to win some, if Tennessee were to come up and pull this thing off tomorrow?
Yeah, I'd be shocked. I would absolutely be shocked. They're 5-touchdown underdogs on the road. Yes, anything can happen in college football. I get that. Over the last 12 meetings, Tennessee's been outscored in this series 454-147. It's part of the reason why your fan base doesn't have a whole lot of optimism, as Tennessee's not played this close. The average margin of defeat has been 38 points. So there's part of the reason why they don't have some of the hope. As for fans, you know, selling their tickets, I'm never going to tell anybody how to spend their money. That's your right as a fan. If you're a season ticket holder and you don't want to use your ticket, you want to sell it, it's not my place to tell you to sell it or not sell it or whatever. You have the rights to do that as a fan. I think in this day and age that we're living in, with every game on TV, with so many different options out there in life to do so many different things, that I think that's why you see ticket sales struggling. I think that's why you won't see Bryant-Denny Stadium in a packed house on Saturday night. Maybe it's packed because everybody wants to see the fourth quarter laser light show, but they're bored. So they don't. I mean, they're sitting there giving incentives for people to stay for the whole game, you know. And on the flip side, you got a team that's losing and hasn't won. You say, give anything to be in that situation. Well, they're bored. You know, they're winning too easily. They get bored. They're bored with winning. So I'm not going to tell anybody how to spend their money or classify if you leave early or you don't go or whatever. That means you're less of a fan or not a fan or whatever. So that's not my place.
I guess you and I will just have to disagree on that, because I think that's absolutely wrong. If you're a fan, you're going to be at the game and you're going to stand there and you're going to cheer on your team.
I would say this, too. I would be shocked if Tennessee wins, but you know what? South Carolina shocked me when they beat Georgia. So just because I'd be shocked doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. I've seen a lot of upsets in the years I've covered it.
Well, sure. We all have. But it doesn't mean
I wasn't shocked by it.
Right. I mean, he asked me, would I be shocked if Tennessee won the game? And, yeah, I'd be shocked if Tennessee won the game.
I would be, too.
Yeah, and I also can understand there's a lot of frustration that has built up over time. Yeah. And we've talked about that it's not necessarily fair to put all of that on Coach Pruitt's shoulders, although it is fair to question and or criticize some of the things that have taken place or transpired on the field of play while he has been the coach. That's not to say he won't improve. That's not to say the program won't improve. But there's never been more asked of Tennessee fans when it comes to investments to buy their respective tickets. And we all know that you're going to get lit up by a family member much more so than you will from a complete stranger in most settings, social media not included. But I just think that, you know what, it's one of those deals. And so if there's somebody right now that is having a tough time watching the team struggle, that doesn't mean they've quit on him. It just means they need to step away. It is what it is. I, for one, want every Tennessee team to win every time out. That's the school I went to. That's the school I grew up pulling for. and that's my alma mater. So that's how it is. But I also know that there are a lot of warts.
I think fans can be kind of like an ankle sprain. They're different degrees.
Absolutely.
And they're ankle sprains where you're not going to walk for a long time, and they're ankle sprains where you can get up and play the next game.
Well, right. And here's the thing. I think the crowd for the BYU game was outstanding. I thought the Georgia crowd was good. I did.
Agree 100%.
I mean, maybe there's more red in there than you wanted to see or whatever. But look, I mean, for the expectation for what that was, where you were at that point, for what that ticket cost, I mean, you could have sold that ticket to Georgia fans and paid your season tickets for the year if you wanted to. I thought Tennessee's fan base was there. I thought the ones that were there was loud. I thought that was a solid crowd that helped that football team out. Listen, you can criticize a lot of things. I don't think it's fair to criticize the Tennessee fan base for what they've been through the last 10 years, because I do think they've continued to show up. You look at the number of season ticket sales, I don't think there's anybody questioning the support. Are they down in numbers? Are they not putting 102,000 or 98 or whatever the actual number is in the stands? No, they're not. But you know what? There's not many places around the country that are selling out. They're not, okay? Because it's a lot easier for everybody to sit at home, watch it on TV. TV has killed the attendance market, in my opinion. And so it's not just because they're struggling and suddenly allegedly people are turning on this team and they're throwing in their fan card or they're giving up their fan card. I don't believe that. I think the Tennessee fans are passionate. They've got great passion for it. I think right now, for everybody across the country, it's harder to sell a ticket than it's ever been, whether you're winning or whether you're losing. That's my opinion.
Chet, we do appreciate it. Let's get a call from Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Brent, he was talking about the offensive line in the Mississippi State game. Now, which one was it? I didn't hear who you said, how they really thought really tremendous game. Was you talking about Smith or was you talking about Morris?
I thought Trey Smith played his best game. And I thought Kennedy played well also. I know Coach Pruitt noted that, but I thought those two guys were tremendous, played well the whole game. I thought they were really good in the fourth quarter. I thought that was as physical as Brandon Kennedy's played since he's been at Tennessee.
Right. On Smith, after he got sick, I'm really surprised he was able to do as well as he did. I didn't ever expect him to be able to really be good again, and that was not very smart. Because obviously he has been. So enough of that. What about recruiting, Brent? I don't guess there's a whole lot of stuff in a way going on right now. But isn't there a young man that's committed to Wake Forest out of North Carolina that we've been recruiting? Maybe a defensive end type or something?
Yeah, Tennessee's circled back around on some kids. I think the biggest thing in recruiting right now, Steve, is when you look at where they are with in-state guys, you've got the three kids at Whitehaven. What are they going to do this week? Are they going to visit Arkansas? Are they not going to visit Arkansas? That's kind of been a bit up in the air. If they do visit, does their families visit? I think that's a key element to watch. Where's Tennessee with Amari Thomas? Last week it was big to get Harrison Bailey back on campus. I think Tennessee needs to get Keyshawn Lawrence on campus. He was not here last week. Can they get him up here for South Carolina, who's trying to get him to be they're trying to be a factor with Lawrence. But I do think it was big to get Harrison Bailey on campus. And then Tennessee's out there continuing to evaluate and look at some guys. There's an offensive guard from out in Texas that Tennessee has evaluated and has recently offered. We'll see what happens with that, if anything there. And I think they're still combing out there for running backs, whether it's in the JUCO ranks, the high school ranks, a transfer, whatever. I think they'd like to add another running back in this class with T. Hodge as well.
Right. Okay. Well, when you mentioned junior college, I wanted to ask you, besides maybe a running back possibly we're looking at, is there anybody else you think in junior college that we will be recruiting?
I think they'll flirt a little bit with defensive backs. I think they might flirt with a DB or a safety out there, if they can find a corner. I don't think they would completely go away and completely say no to a junior college defensive back. I think they're still trying to recruit some high school DBs as well.
Right.
I don't know of a defensive lineman that's out there. I don't think you're going to see them in the high school. I mean, in the junior college ranks for an offensive lineman. I think if you're looking at them, I think it's running back. And then maybe a defensive back. I don't know of a receiver right off the top of my head that they're messing with in the junior college ranks. So I think running back and DB would be the only thing to look for.
Right. Well, okay. Well, guys, I know I'm always paying y'all compliments. I usually do, don't I? But
yes.
Yeah. But when they say East Tennessee is God's country, I imagine it is. I've said that before. When it's called God's country, I think it probably is. And not that I'm unhappy down here in rural West Tennessee. I'm not. But, you know, if I grew up there, John, you were talking earlier, you grew up a Tennessee fan. You went to UT, of course.
Yep, so it is home sweet home to me.
And so, you know, the mountains and all the trees. And, Brent, I know you know, all y'all know, there have been times where the trees and the mountains and the fishing up there is what's got us players from other areas, and because they liked it so much. So enough of that, too.
And, Steve, we sure do appreciate it. What stands out, and, Brent, as long as you've been covering recruiting, you've now seen it firsthand, how many guys come from wherever, whether it be California, Texas, New Jersey, they found a home, not just at the University of Tennessee, but they found a home in Knoxville and East Tennessee, and now their families are here.
Well, and it's part because of the area and the scenery and how pretty it is, but, it's the people. I mean, Tennessee fans in this area have embraced Tennessee players who have come through here, obviously, and continue to do that. I do find it funny in the recruiting world still when you talk to somebody after their first visit to Tennessee and, you know, the first response, they go, you know, it's kind of a city. I mean, Knoxville's like a real city. I'm like, yes, there's more than just some cows, you know, walking around somewhere. You know, I mean, we have traffic lights and paved roads and indoor plumbing. It's really cool. All the things that we have here. It's just funny. And Jimmy, I know you've talked to enough kids through the years in recruiting. It's been this way for 25 or 30 years. Everybody thinks they're coming to nothing, and then they get here and they go, hey, it's a pretty nice little city. You know, there's quite a bit going on here in the city, particularly surrounding the University of Tennessee. Always cracks me up talking to guys after visits that way.
We've got one more segment with Brent Hubbs coming up. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900. I will say this, even though there was the embarrassment that was and will be the loss to Georgia State, that's a stain that cannot be wiped off completely. I would say bad form on any fan that either had as their meme or did so themselves put a bag on their head as a Tennessee fan. That they had the right to do it. I'm just saying I thought that's bad form.
Coming as a Saints fan, I would agree.
We'll get a break. Another segment with Brent Hubbs coming up. A final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk is next.
If you smell something, that's probably us. We are 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk. Final segment with Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com. Let's see if we can squeeze in a quick question from Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Brent, I got two quick recruits. It's the first one, just to touch up on the recruiting trail for Tennessee. What, in your opinion, what would happen if Tennessee were to go out and win against maybe, you know, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and UAB and get to a bowl game? Would that change things in recruiting?
I think it would help, no question. I think it would certainly solidify everybody that you have and settle all that down. And it's pretty calm right now. The Mississippi State win helped there. But I think it would help them close on the recruiting trail with some guys. I don't know that it means you get Noah Sewell from out on the West Coast or Darnell Washington from Las Vegas. You know, you'd probably get him and, you know, get those guys for a visit and continue to try to kick the tires there and see, but I do think that it would be a close. It would help you with a guy like Amari Thomas, I think, and you know, I know Chris Morris from out in Memphis committed to Texas A&M on Wednesday. That one's not going to be over till there's some ink on some paper somewhere. So I think Tennessee would continue to you know, battle there, and he might be more open to listening as well. So I obviously it would help.
Okay, and then my final question, and you, I don't know if you can remember this or not, but can you just go into detail about Randall Cobb's recruitment. I'm from up here in Kentucky, and I'm I've always been interested to see how that played out. I never really heard. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Sure. Randall Cobb wanted to play quarterback. Tennessee was not interested in recruiting him as a quarterback, did not recruit him as a quarterback, and then went and Randall Cobb kind of went crazy in the playoffs that year and played really well in the playoffs, and he had a good year anyway, but he played really well down the stretch at the end of the season and played well, I think, in the state championship game. And it was at that point in time, of course, there was no early signing day back then, that Tennessee tried to ramp it up and, you know, hey, you can play quarterback, and got more involved and started swinging there, but they were just late to the party. Randy Sanders in Kentucky had done a good job making him a priority that he could play quarterback. We obviously know what ended up happening with him at Kentucky and what he's going on to do, but they made him a priority more than Tennessee did. His family liked Tennessee. I think Randall liked Tennessee, but when Tennessee came calling, he wasn't just going to drop and turn and run on Kentucky, because Kentucky had done a good job recruiting him at that point in time. That's how I remember it.
Jeremy, we sure do appreciate it.
I might have slept a little bit since then, so I could have missed something along the way. Jimmy, if I missed something, let me know.
No, that was it.
Brent, what's going on these days at VolQuest.com?
Well, we've got coverage leading up to Tennessee and Alabama. We've got the matchup piece today. Rob and I had some fun earlier this week with our top five Tennessee-Alabama games since 1980. We dive into that today. We got a round table up. We've got the podcast tomorrow, the War Room tomorrow. Jesse Simonton's got his 10 things I think. And then on Saturday morning, because this is a late game Saturday night, Rick Barnes has been gracious enough to sit down with us for an interview. We've got a pretty lengthy video interview with him where we talk to Rick Barnes about what he likes about this team, coaching this team, what he's learned about coaching a young team through his years, and just different things like that, and a fun conversation with Rick Barnes. That'll be up on Saturday morning.
It's also worth a visit to check out what Brent Hubbs wrote this week, and that would be how the Vols can maintain some momentum coming out of the Alabama game into what could be five winnable games with the schedule that remains. Brent, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com.